Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Hello, my name is Adam, one of the members here at Grace Community. Just wanted to greet everyone and also to be able to just also, along with the missions moment this morning, be able to bring you up to speed on some of the trips that we've been able to make recently. Recently, we've been able to go to Spain and to teach in three different cities the prayer seminar. Some of you know that we do prayer seminars in different countries. And also, we were able to visit from that country, Spain, go to Central Asia. I won't be able to name the country, but we were able to share the prayer seminar in Russian, translated, of course, from English. And that was an amazing time to see the work there. But really, what blew me away was these amazing young believers, 25-year-olds, 30-year-olds, they're taking the gospel to different places in Central Asia. And I was just amazed to see the work that this one church was doing. From one church, they were reaching four countries, and they'd established six different churches in these four countries. And when I talk about them, I mean 25-year-olds, 30-year-olds, you know, young people sharing the gospel with others and, you know, bringing the kingdom of God to the hearts of people. It was amazing. My takeaway is this from this trip, it was about 3 weeks, is that God is always doing things that we don't know about. You know, he's always working. You know, he's not working the way we may see fit, but he's working and his kingdom is expanding and moving forward. And that really, that was just an incredible takeaway for me. On another note, Diane and I, we want to thank the church this morning for your prayers. Thank you for your prayers. Some of you may know that we became grandparents, and the kids were in the hospital. The grandkids have been in the hospital for 4 months now. But on this Friday that just passed, the baby, Zach, he was able to go home for the first time. And so we just want to thank you all for your prayers. That was amazing. And then, you know, Diane and I, we're still praying with you all. For Priscilla, she's still in the hospital. She's stable. And David and Hope, they've been in the hospital now for 135 days, back and forth from their apartment to the hospital. So you can just pray for them. It's a little bit more than a marathon, wouldn't know what to call it, but it's a long time, right? 135 days. So they're going to continue to pray for and work with Priscilla, and they're hoping to bring her home soon. So you can pray for that. And finally, just as a missions announcement, love to invite you all, June 6th, we're going to have our annual missions picnic right here at Grace Community Church on June 6th, Saturday, June 6th. We'd love to have you here to be able to share more on what God is doing. Amen? So let's jump right into our message today. The title of the message is The Unconditional Christ. The Unconditional Christ. I just want to give a shout out to the media department. Don't they do a good job? For those that travel a lot, we get to connect with you guys over the live streaming or the recorded archives. And so we're blessed and thankful for them, the work that they're doing. Amen for that. So how many of us have ever felt the sting of betrayal? How many have felt that in your life, the gut-wrenching feeling that when you had put your trust and your time and your energy in a relationship and that person betrays you? Quite a thought, isn't it? I have just returned from a closed country and that is closed to the gospel. And the pastor was confronted by the government of that country. And they offered to him money. They offered him money. And they said, would you become a spy for us against your own church? And he said no to the offer. So they went to the wife. And they said, wife, would you betray your husband and your church and become a spy for us against your church? And she also said, no, I will not do that. So they both had to flee the country and be able to flee the country because they were being persecuted because they both refused to betray their own church, betray their calling, betray the gospel. And it was amazing to hear that story. Last week we heard from Pastor Greg how he mentioned in Luke 21 that in the last days people will be betraying each other, relatives against relatives, right? And how we're going to need the Holy Spirit in these last days to empower us and to keep us aware and awake and alive on what's happening around us. So let's pray and let's look into this Luke chapter 22 as we look into the plot to kill Jesus and the Passover this morning. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the privilege, first of all, to be in a country where we can meet anytime we want to meet with whoever we want to meet with, anywhere we would like to meet on any street corner. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to preach the gospel in this country. We ask, God, that you would bless your word. Holy Spirit, lead us and direct us because we need you. We need you to reveal to us and encourage us, strengthen us so that we can hear from you, Lord. We thank you for the privilege of your word, and we ask that you bless the body of Christ as we share together and break bread together this morning. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. So the big idea is pretty straightforward today in our Luke chapter 22. For those that have your Bibles or following along, Judas betrayed Jesus and the disciples abandoned him. But he, Jesus, loved, invited, and sacrificed himself unconditionally for them. And here's the key part, even to the end. And that's what really blesses me, encourages me about Jesus Christ and the gospel. Here in Luke chapter 22, it's where Jesus shares the Passover meal with his disciples, and Judas is going to betray him. So let's jump right into our background. Luke chapter 22, 1 through 6, the background story that's happening around and before the Passover. So there's this undercurrent of a plot happening. And let's jump right into it with our reading. Now, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, Luke 22, verse 1, drew near, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put him to death, for they feared the people. That's something key. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the crowd. So the Pharisees are really afraid of the crowd. They didn't want an uprising against them by arresting Jesus. And this is the background to the story. They were willing to go, the Pharisees were willing to go to any measure to kill him, but they feared the people because of the uprising. Isn't it amazing? The religious leaders had cleansed their homes in Matthew 23, but not their hearts. Judas solved the problem for them. The insider went to the outsiders, the Pharisees and scribes, and presented himself to him. And this brings us to our first point here. Point number one, Christ's unconditional love towards his disciples. He loved them to the end. And this is what we're going to hopefully unpack with you this morning in this first point. Isn't it amazing that the all-knowing God chose Judas to be on his team of disciples? I can't figure that out. And I'll continue to dig and look in other places and scholars and see, but why would he choose him? I mean, if you were the captain of your team, whatever team you may have, be it job-related or sports-related, Would you choose a betrayer? Most of us would not. At the same time, why were the disciples shocked when Jesus announced one of them was going to betray him? And that brings us to our next point there, John 13, if you can look up on the screen. Jesus knew that the hour had come and that he would depart from this world and return to his Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he would love them to the end. The unconditional love of Christ. Until the very end, Jesus hid from the other disciples the identity of the betrayer. This is an important aspect of Jesus' love. For he wanted to give Judas every opportunity to turn from his sin. He even had washed his feet and broke bread with him. But we all know what happened. In verse 2, John 13, 2, here's the key to the betrayal. The devil, having already put into the heart of Judas, Simon's son, to betray him. And the scholars agree that he was not a believer. He was with them, with the disciples, but he was not a part of them. Interesting point here that one of the scholars brought up. Had Peter known the truth about Judas, he might have been tempted to kill him. That would have been interesting, right? So why would Judas want to betray his master? This is a lingering question that's there. In my opinion, what probably upset Judas the most was that Jesus did not do what he expected him to do. And what was that expectation? That Jesus would come, or the Messiah would come and conquer the Romans, take that yoke off the Jews. And Jesus was not there. Jesus did not come on this first time around. He didn't come to do that. Have you ever had expectations that didn't come to fruition? How about that job promotion that didn't materialize? How about that relationship that you thought was solid and it changed? Or how about if I can attain that certain goal in my life, that will fulfill my needs? And those expectations aren't met. False expectation sets the person up for a big disappointment. I believe Judas was highly disappointed with Jesus. How about, imagine with me just in this moment, imagine this possible conversation, self-talk, Judas speaking to himself. I saw you perform miracles. Jesus, I heard you teach amazing principles to live by, but you're not gonna overthrow the Romans? You're not gonna overthrow them? You're not gonna conquer them? You're not gonna take that yoke off of us? I thought you were the Messiah. We get another look at Judas here in John chapter 12. Look at this with me, very interesting, 4 and 5. The anointing of the feet of Jesus in Bethany brought a response from Judas. Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Questions, money. Could it be more? Was it only the money that was bothering Judas? Or was it something even bigger than that? Was there something else simmering under his skin that was upsetting him even more? In my opinion, it was he was upset. Jesus, you did not fulfill the expectation that I had for you, the Messiah, coming to this earth. Really interesting, isn't it? Recently, I was with my son, and we were evangelizing a couple of men, and we shared with them about Christ and how he came to bring peace to the world. And they misinterpreted that peace in that conversation as the absence of conflict and wars all over the world. They had a false expectation of what Christ could do. Interesting, isn't it? Jesus accepted the disciples unconditionally, knowing they would completely betray him, deny him, and finally, they would scatter in the hour of the crucifixion. Wow. What supernatural love. Unconditional acceptance. It's beyond anything I can understand. I mean, I would never choose these guys to be on my team. But Jesus did. And I don't understand it. But I accept it by faith that he had a bigger plan. And so, you know, this brings us to the next section here that we want to go over, the Passover with the disciples. If you could read it with me, Jesus is going to celebrate the Passover with them. And we're going to look at, I want to really concentrate on Luke 22, 11 through 13, just looking at the sovereignty of Christ handling this moment. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate that. The sovereignty of Christ handling this moment for the Passover, right? If you could look at Luke 22, 11 through 20, 11 through 13, maybe we can start at 10. And it says, and he said to them, behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters. And verse 11, tell the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there. And they went in and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. This amazing sovereignty of Christ being exposed here, shown to us here. Remember the plot? There's this plot going on. There's this undercurrent of uncertainty. This is Holy Week. This is Thursday. And Jesus, in his sovereignty, had everything arranged, everything prepared ahead of time. The way the Lord arranged for the Passover meal indicates that he knew about the plots on his life. Even during the danger and uncertainty, Christ had all things under his control. Until the disciples arrived into the upper room, only Jesus, John, and Peter knew about the location. Had Judas known, he might have been tempted to inform the Pharisees where the Passover was being held. So this brings us to this next point that we want to look at, Christ's unconditional sacrifice. And look at this with me, just a picture I wanted to bring up on the screen. Look how the Jews celebrated the Passover. And for that, for those that have your Bible or want to look back, we want to understand the Passover meal better. We're looking at Christ's unconditional sacrifice, but really we want to look at the Passover story in the Old Testament coming out of Exodus chapter 12. He gives us the background. This chapter gives us the background on how the Jews had to kill a lamb and take the blood and put it on the door frames of their homes, as you can see on the picture. And that night, they had to be dressed, that night of the Exodus, chapter 12, they had to be dressed and ready to move quickly as they were going to exit Egypt. The blood that was placed upon the door frames would mark the house of the Jews. Those who obeyed by placing the blood on the lamb of their on their doors, the blood of the lamb would placed on the door frames of their doors, their homes. And here it is, the angel of death would pass over. And that's where we get the word or the title, the Passover meal. They would pass over their home and not kill their firstborn. So the main point of the Passover was the killing of the lamb, which would take the place of the firstborn son. And this is where we today get the idea of the substitute lamb. He comes in the plan of redemption that God had in mind all along with the future Messiah. In our teaching today, the Messiah had arrived. He had arrived, and he's in the Passover. He would become the substitute in our place and shed his blood for us. He is called the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world in John chapter 1, 29. The unconditional sacrifice is being made available for each person who believes in this substitute for your own personal life. The innocent Son of Man taking the place of the guilty sinners, and we were them. We were those guilty sinners. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21. He not only invited the disciples to the table, but would become the ultimate sacrifice for them, because he is a God who will love them even to the end. That's Thursday night. He's sharing the Passover meal with them Thursday night of Holy Week. The next day is Good Friday. He will prove his love by sacrificing his body on the cross to his disciples and to his followers. So just as a quick review, we've talked about Christ's unconditional love for his disciples. He will love them to the end. Number two, Christ's unconditional sacrifice brought forward from the Old Testament Passover. Here he is sacrificing, and he's going to break bread with them in a couple of minutes. Christ's unconditional invitation to the Lord's Supper. And that's our next point and our final point today. We want to look at this Luke chapter 22, 14 through 23. And we just want to see this incredible story of the invitation that we have. Look at with me, if we could bring it to the screen for the folks. Yeah, thank you. The institution of the Lord's Supper. Look at verse 14 with me, Luke 22, 14. And let's read that through. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. The Lord's Supper. Christ's unconditional invitation is being made not only to the disciples, but also to us. And this brings us to the next point here. We now have access through the blood of Jesus. We now have access into the presence of God. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, it's an incredible verse I just want to share with you, and I want you to look at with me today. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Never before could the disciples or anyone enter into God's presence without the sacrifices being made. But now Jesus becomes the ultimate sacrifice. And in the next day, Good Friday, he pays for the entrance, for us to come into Christ's entrance with his own blood, Hebrews 10, 19. And this introduces the new covenant that Jesus is talking about here in, verse 20. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant of my blood. And look at it with me. Look at the differences. Let's look at the differences between the old and the new covenant in a very brief way. Look at this with me. So you're Jews, and he's talking about a new covenant. I thought there was only one covenant. I thought it was the old covenant. But no, he's introducing the new covenant. Look at the differences here. The blood of many Jewish sacrifices could cover sin under the first old covenant, but never take it away, which explains why these sacrifices were repeated. In Hebrews 10, verse 11 talks about that. But Jesus paid for our sins once and for all in Hebrews 10, 12. and he paid for it on the cross. What a beautiful thing. On the cross, that next day, Good Friday, he showed his unconditional love, unconditional sacrifice for us. And this is how he introduces the new covenant. And it also opened up or made sanctification, the processes of conforming into the image of Christ, possible for all believers in Hebrews 10:14. So the Last Supper was left for us as a memorial of Christ's unconditional love, his sacrifice, and invitation to participate. I don't have it on the screen, but I brought it into my notes just to be able to add on here and share with you a little bit more. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where it shares about the supper, the communion for the saints, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 24 and 25, Christ says, "Do this in memory of me," the communion that we share. In verse 26, we're told to proclaim his death until he comes. And then the Lord's Supper encourages us to look back with love and worship to the sacrifice on the cross and that price that he paid for us. And then to look forward with hope and anticipation to his coming again. I'd like to be able to invite the worship team to come on up to the stage. I want to close with this, just this thought on forgiveness. You know, the unconditional love, unconditional sacrifice, the unconditional invitation representing this unconditional Christ. I can't understand it, but I believe it by faith. He offers us forgiveness today. The forgiveness offered by God is the greatest miracle that Jesus ever performed. It meets the greatest need. It costs the greatest price. And it brings the greatest blessing and the most lasting results. He's so unconditional. What's our big idea? Judas betrayed Jesus. The disciples abandoned him, but he loved and sacrificed himself unconditionally for them, even to the end. If he did it for them, he will do it for us. Amen? And this is why Jesus loved unconditionally, offered himself without reservations, and finally invited all of us as believers to participate in the Last Supper. God bless you and thank you very much.